Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday night. It is 8 o'clock. It is time for Matt Chat. And tonight, I am extremely happy to have as my guest somebody that has been on the show before several times. Somebody who I have a tremendous amount of respect for. Somebody Mark Magnum, welcome to Matt Chat.
What's going on, X? How you doing, brother?
Oh, you know me. If I'm alive, I'm doing good.
It was good to see you last Friday. I'll say that right now.
It was great to see you too, my friend.
So
well,
what's
last
up, man?
Last time you were on this show, you announced your retirement. A lot has changed since then.
Yeah.
Let's get into that. You were dealing with a severely injured back at the time, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So, what changed? What improved? What led to the return of Mark Magnum, something that I personally was thrilled to hear about when I heard about it originally.
To be honest, it was one of those things where I'd been to a lot of chiropractors and I'd been to other type of doctors and whatnot, and some of them were saying surgery. Then I found a doctor that was talking about just rehabilitation, going and just straightening up your back and, you know, trying to focus on, you know, not surgery, because basically from what the doctor said, my problem was irreversible. It can't be changed. A surgery is really not going to do nothing. It might even aggravate it even worse. So my mindset was, after talking with my wife and other family members, you know, what should I do? Should I go ahead with the surgery and take a risk of this being worse? Yeah, it might help, but it could make the problem worse. Or should I try the rehab and see if that, you know, does better and see if my body responds better to that? And within, it was almost about 3 months of rehab that I went through, that I silently went through. I didn't post about it online. I just did my deal and went about it and approached it. And, you know, I mean, when FGW originally started up, you know, I was medically clear because I retired, you know, in December. And in that first month of me doing rehab, the doctor seen improvement. Like not going to say immediately, but he saw, like, encouraging signs of improvement. Like, we need to keep going down this path. We need to keep going down this path. And, you know, Brian Levick at FGW stalled me out. And whether I'm mad about that is whatever. Maybe he was looking out for my best interest. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was being selfish. Maybe he wasn't. But for me, it was the thing, well, all right, while you're not letting me come back, I'm going to give you a reason to let me come back in the regards of there's going to be irrefutable evidence that from – I had two different doctors, my chiropractor and then my rehab doctor, both of them, my therapist. They both gave me glaring, you know, bills of health. You know, of course, take it – you know, don't just jump, you know, into the deep end right off the bat, but – go in there and see how your body responds to it. If you respond fine and you come back and everything's okay, we can continue down this path. And here I sit, you know, months later, and, you know, I've been back for months. I mean, and it feels great because I honestly deep down I missed it. And to be at that point where I was 7 months ago, maybe 8 months ago, where I announced my retirement and I was just kind of down and things kind of got dark and I didn't know what I was going to do with my life outside of, you know, raising my kids, obviously. But at the same time, for me, it was like, what do I do now? Because, you know, for the last almost, at that time, almost 11 years, I'd always had that outlet. I always had wrestling. I always had, okay, on Friday or Saturday or whatever night I'm booked, I've got this. And it went from that to just silence. You know, it went from me getting my gear bag ready on a Friday or a Saturday or making sure my camera's charged on a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday or whatever. And it went from that to my camera just sat. My gear bag just sat. My boots just sat. You know, and it was a slow deterioration until I had that second opinion from the other doctor that ended up being my rehab doctor that said, how about we try this? And we tried it. And I had my, you know, because part of me wanted just to do the surgery and be done with it, partly. But then at the same time, I'm, you know, from talking to my parents and talking to my wife and a couple close friends, you know, they said, well, why go through the knife, you know, at the beginning? How about try to see if rehab will work? And it did, and we're at where we're at, man.
When I saw you in the ring this past Friday, it was like the first time I saw you. You looked to be 10 years younger. You looked to be just as quick and agile as I've ever seen you, and it was great to see.
I mean, I've still got a ways to go, Ace. I mean, excuse me, the rehab's going great and all that, but I mean, I still, like a couple times a week go, and I still kind of keep my body at the level it needs to be at, but like physically, like shape-wise, I'm still getting there. I'm not in my mind, like the matches I've been having, I think have been great or good or whatever, but I feel like I'm still not where I was. Like, I'm fine where I'm at, but I don't feel like I was where I was at 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And that's where I'm trying to get, maybe not knowledge-wise, because I'm a whole different competitor than I was a couple years ago. But I'm talking about the work and how I was in the ring. Yeah, I thank you for the compliment of saying I looked quick, because I feel better. I'm not as much pain as I was last year and the year before, where I just kept doing this to my body and I didn't pay it the proper amount of attention. I'm young, I'll bounce back. And then I'm starting to get older, closer to 40, and now my body's not responding or it's not, you know, recovering as fast as it once did, to where the pain lasts longer, the aches last longer, the nagging, you know, injuries last longer. And I mean, honestly, me retiring for that period of time was good on my body in the aspect I stopped bumping. You know, I stopped doing that. And I focused on just my health and not about just wrestling. And now that I've came back and I'm pacing myself and I'm doing things the right way and I'm actually listening to my doctor this time, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm happy that, honestly, all this has happened the way it happened. Because, like I said earlier, the retirement part, it didn't kill me, but it hurt deep, because I didn't feel like I was done yet. I felt like there was some things I still wanted to do. And then FGW started up, and I was like, here's my opportunity. And then they kind of shut me down a little bit until I just kept on plugging away and kept on doing what I do and kept grinding. And then eventually there was nothing they could do to stop it. And then Jackson Breeze also helped in that process, because he knew what I was doing. He knew what I was going through. He knew the whole rigmarole, what was going down with me. So it all just played perfectly to where now I'm back in the ring. Now I'm at a pretty high level. I don't feel like I'm where I was a couple years ago. Mentally, I am. Like, mentally, my mind's been there. Like, when I was a liaison, and I'm doing air quotes, I know you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes, when I was a liaison to the city of Hamilton, you know, it kind of sucked being in the back and watching guys, you know, while I'm checking the building for code, just listening to guys talk over some stuff, or, you know, listening to a guy ask for advice from another veteran. And it's just like, I miss that. And like I said, I found a way to get back. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I can't imagine. You know my situation. You know I was also forced to step away. And
yeah.
My choice.
Yeah.
But I couldn't go into a locker room right now without wanting to be on the show. I would just, it would drive me nuts.
And that's kind of what it did with me. I'm sitting there and I'm doing my job as the liaison, trying to shut them down and all that. And but at the same time, I'm just watching and feeling, and it's just like, man, I'm not ready to be done yet. And it kind of ate at me because it kind of hurt my feelings at first when, you know, Brian and them from the company and management at FGW were kind of stalling me out and giving me the runaround and weren't really wanting to, well, it wasn't worth the risk, and it's not worth, you know, a lawsuit, or, you know, we're just trying to get started. We have to fight with the city to even get going, and we don't need something else to slow that down, or, you know, whatever their position was. You know, it was one of those things for me. It made me want to work harder to prove to them, you should have let me back. And this is why I started the code, because you guys tried to shut me down. Granted, the code's no more, and that sucks bigger than anybody will ever know in my mind, because I thought that we were going to do big things and we just couldn't come together to, you know, keep it going. But I know when I came back that I, you know, code or not, I was going to make an impact, and that's what I continue to do.
You brought them up. Let's talk about the code. How did the code start? Who were the original members? What was the...
When the code started, I mean, Jackson Breeze was always in on it. I mean, he was the silent partner for the longest, where nobody knew he was a part of it. But, I mean, Trice was an original member because he was another guy like me that was getting blocked on coming into the company. I've said this on other podcasts. I mean, you had guys on the card like Hooks, and you know Hooks. You know how Hooks competes in the ring. It's blood, and it's bad, and it's hardcore, and it's stiff. And for some reason, you know, you had Brian Levesque shutting down Trice and not letting him compete for FTW, saying that he was too much or he was too volatile, or, you know, Trice was too violent, or he's got a bad reputation. And I'm sitting there, you know, at some of these council meetings when I was trying to work for the city of Hamilton, and it was just kind of baffling to me that I'm hearing these words come out of his mouth, and it's like, you realize you've got Hooks on the roster, right? And between me and Jackson Breeze politicking and, you know, getting things in motion to where Trice could come, that was also at the same time I was trying to make the comeback, to where we kind of, this all kind of happened at the same time. And then we had guys like Shea Solo, and who walked out on us, Kid Bullet, who walked out on us in the end. I mean, there was Jonas. There was a lot of different guys. There was Steve Anderson. There was Super Zeta. There was a lot of us. And then eventually we ended up getting Eric Fallen when he turned on Ryan Michaels. And, I mean, the code became a huge entity at FGW. Like, we controlled the show for the 2.5-3 months that we were there. And, I mean, the fans might have hated us, but we didn't care about that. We didn't come there for the fans. It was about us making an impact, because most of those guys that I named were getting, you know, not utilized well. Like, I didn't even mention JC Flash. Like, I would see him when I was doing things backstage, and he was not even on the show. Like, he wasn't doing anything on the show. He would just sit in the back and hang out with the boys. But when it came to cutting the curtain, that never happened for him until the code came into play. Then he had the show Flashbang that he took over from Ricky Glam. And a lot of things went on that I felt we put into place perfectly to make the code be more sustainable in time. But things happened the way they happened, and a lot of us dropped the ball. I mean, all of us, I'm going to say all of us dropped the ball that night. I dropped the ball. I mean, Jonas dropped the ball. Kid Bullet and them left us before they even had a chance to drop the ball. Fallen dropped the ball. I mean, Trice dropped. I mean, we all dropped the ball. And I think that's why it kills me that much, because it feels like it was a lost opportunity. Like, we had control of the company for 2 months, and the houses were usually packed. We always, you know, made a statement. We always brought attention to the group. But then, you know, it was one of those things where as time went on and the couple months went by, everybody started getting big heads and their own agendas, and they lost sight of why we came together in the first place. And that slowly eroded away the team, the group, the faction, the stable, whatever you want to call it, that slowly eroded us to where it became, Fallen's more worried about killing Ryan Michaels, and I'm more worried about doing whatever I can to put a monkey wrench in Brian Levesque's plans. And Trice was more and more focused about killing Space Invader and taking the title from him, which he did. But in the end, we all got so focused in other stuff. Like, Steve Anderson got so focused on ending his brother in a casket match, and we didn't keep in mind that, hey, if we lose, like, That's everything. Everything that we've worked for in the last 2 months to build what we've built will be destroyed and knocked over with a huge wrecking ball with an FTW logo on it in seconds. And it's hard to think that the code's over. But, I mean, at the same time, me and Trice are still together as a team. And Jackson's still in our corner. So, I mean, the code's dead, but the remnants and the essence of the code is still around, and the fans hate it, but I love it.
Yeah, I noticed that after your match this past Friday, you and your little brother seemed to be back on the same page again.
Well, my brother, he was another one. I forgot there were so many guys in the... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Last time I saw you guys, you were at each other's throats.
Well, that was probably a couple years ago, brother. I mean, he was another guy.
It's been a while.
There were so many guys in the code. My brother was another one, but he got injured during the course of the code going on, to where he was just returning when you were there to see it this last Friday. So, I mean, we've been on the same page for about a year and a half now. I mean, it took us a minute to get back to that point because, like you said, we did go to war a couple times in the ring, and it did kind of change our relationship for a little bit. But you know, when the code started up, he was one of the first guys. Once we got Trice back in and got him where he needed to be, and I got back in the ring, and it was the whole, okay, who am I picking? Because I'm sitting in the back, and I'm seeing guys that look frustrated, or I'm seeing guys with long faces that don't look like they're happy to be doing what they're doing, if they're doing anything at all on the card. And then it was the matter, okay, this guy, that guy. Oh, of course, my brother. And we had a long conversation. You know, we squashed our beef. And we moved it forward. But like I said, he got injured in the course of the code running wild. And, you know, he wasn't there at, unfortunately, the evening.
You know, I kind of regret that I was never there to see the code in action, but timing just was never right until this past Friday when I was finally able to make it to a show. And like I said, it was wonderful to see you back in action. You know, not only as a colleague, as a friend, I don't think I've ever hidden the fact that I'm a huge Mark Magnum fan.
Yeah, I definitely know that. I've never doubted your loyalty. You were my agent for years, so I never once doubted your loyalty, brother.
So, like I said, it was great to see you back in the ring, and you know, everybody can look forward to seeing you every Friday night. Is there anything else on the horizon?
I mean, my main focus when I came back was because I was there at FGW when it first started. The first night I was there, and I was there for every show after that. I missed a couple here and there for certain reasons, but I was there for every show. And I'd be in the back, you know, checking things, making sure stuff was supposed to be the way it was supposed to be. But I would also hear the crowd. And, you know, I've worked in a lot of different crowds. I've worked for a lot of different companies. I've worked in front of thousands of people before, so it's not like it was anything like that. But for me, it was one of those things where I heard how hot the FGW crowd was. And I heard and seen how much they appreciated what the guys and the gals did in the ring week in and week out at FGW, to where for me, as a guy that still had a thirst for the business and wasn't quite done, even though my body was giving me signs that maybe I need to slow down or take better care of myself. For me, I knew that this crowd is hot. This crowd is an awesome crowd to work in front of, and I'll be damned if I'm retired and I can't work in front of them. So that was another thing that was driving me, and it wasn't even that I wanted to please the fans. It was more that I wanted to work in front of these people, whether I'm pissing them off or whether I'm making them happy, even though you know me, dog, I prefer to piss them off than make them happy. And that's what I've been doing quite well for almost 11 years now. But at the same time, I knew that me coming back to a company, to me, that matters, and to me that is trying to do something bigger than what they're than what it looks. I knew I had to get a part of that, and it kind of that was another reason that kind of drove me. Like I said, you know, in the whole process of me coming back was because, you know, the powers that be weren't allowing me to. And it's like, not to toot my own horn, but I'm a pretty talented guy in the ring, and not to say that the guys they have aren't, but I thought I would be able to add to the company or contribute to the company or, you know, do more than what they were trying to get me to do. Because, I mean, when Brian was stalling me out and not allowing me to wrestle, it was him trying to tell me, well, maybe, you know, maybe you'd be a better locker room leader, or maybe you'd be a better consultant to the guys in the back. I mean, he was even trying to get me to be an agent and kind of just go around and go around and look for other talent. And it was just like, part of me was like, I appreciate that to a degree, but I'm not done wrestling yet. And he didn't realize, I mean, all the stuff that I sent him, I faxed him information, I emailed him information, showing him the condition of my back and my spine, and showing him that it's not as bad as it was first thought. But he didn't want to take the risk to where, like I said, it made me drive harder and work harder and, you know, strive to make sure that you can't say that I can't come back, because I am medically cleared by multiple doctors that are saying the same thing I'm saying. So it was a goal for me. It was one of those things, because after being in the business for 11 years, you know, sometimes things get stale, or if you work for the same company for so long, you know, it kind of becomes monotonous, and you don't really have a vision anymore. You're just showing up to shows and doing your job and, you know, entertaining or whatever. And it got to me to where it gave me something to try to achieve again. Like, all right, you say I'm not ready, watch this. Or you say, you know, I shouldn't be medically, you know, cleared to compete, or it's not worth the risk, or whatever you're trying to say to stop me. I'm going to put this, I'm going to push this right back in your face and make you eat it. And I mean, regardless of how things ended with the code, I'm still at FGW. I've still got a strong contract that cannot be refuted unless I put my hands on Brian Levick and physically assault the man. I cannot be fired at FGW. As long as I'm not doing anything out of the way, as, you know, like I just said, assaulting the employees or, you know, management, I should say, not employees, but management, I have an ironclad contract. Trice has an ironclad contract. Jackson has an ironclad contract. Every member that was a part of the code, because I've said this before in a previous podcast I've done elsewhere, that, you know, when the code was, you know, at that point, when we had, you know, we got heat and there was a chance that we could lose, and there was a chance that FGW could take back control, you know, me and Jackson and, you know, Trice and Eric Fallon, we all kind of had to sit down, and it was one of those, okay, let's be realistic here. What happens if we do lose? Because it's not like Brian's going to just let us wrestle for us, you know, his company and with open arms, to where we got with Jackson's attorney, who is one of the best attorneys I've ever worked with. And we got the contracts that we needed, and, you know, making the same money I was making as a part of the code, so I didn't, wasn't like I took a pay cut or anything. We did exactly what we should have done and protected ourselves, because, you know, it was one of those, like, if we lose, then where are we going to wrestle? I mean, granted, I'm sure I could get bookings elsewhere, but we were trying to make a statement at FGW, and if we weren't at FGW, it's kind of hard to make a statement. So we made sure that we had a backup plan just in case things went the way they ended up going.
It's always good to have a plan B. I usually like to have a C, D, and E just in case.
Sometimes you have to, depending on the situation, brother.
Absolutely. Well, we are about out of time, my friend, so I'm going to let you go. I know you've got a wife and family you need to attend to. So I'm going to let you do that.
Don't forget, people out there, every Friday night, the FGW Arena is 190 North Liquid Avenue. Make sure you guys come to the show. Right, I believe it's Brookville Avenue. Apologize, and just make sure you guys make it to the show. So the show starts at 7:30. Awesome show we put on every week. Make sure you guys make it.
Absolutely, and I'm sure I'll see you again soon, my friend.
Hope so, brother.
Me too. Have a great night. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mark Magnum. Like he said, every Friday night, 190 Brookwood Avenue, Hamilton, Ohio. You can check out FGW. So for Mark Magnum, this is Ace Diamond. Have a good night, everybody.